or they try to.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
You're now listening to Music Impulse with Smiles.
Alright y'all, it's your boy Smiles and we back for another episode of the Music Impulse. On this very special episode, we switching it up a little bit. I got my guy Big Papa Skeeta in the building to help co-host this episode.
What up though? Big Papa Skeet, aka Darkside Dom Kennedy, aka Grostavo Fring, aka Giggity Getty Green Gross.
You feel me?
AKA Skeet Lightyear. Yeah, I'm crashing on the Music Impulse. Nigga.
Yeah. Yeah, on this episode, my guy Lo grabbed one of the homies, Mo Tizzy, producer, DJ, podcaster. You direct videos and everything.
Renaissance man.
Yeah, Renaissance man. So you know, welcome to the episode, man.
My man, I appreciate y'all for having me. What's crack?
Hey, nothing. Hey, Tizzy, man, real quick. I heard it's a rumor you be fighting crime too, nigga.
He just doing the 2 hours of free time I have.
Right. In between beats, he just be going around like, don't be selling no drugs in the community.
Hell no. Y'all do what y'all gotta do. I'm out of my business.
Right. But yeah, no. Thanks for taking the time out, bro. I know you a busy man. Like Smile said, you scroll up and down your Instagram, you don't see nothing but work, right?
Right.
Like work. Because, and I say that because, you know, when you see in this age, like post-COVID society, as I like to say, everybody likes to be the multi-hyphenate talent, right? They like, I do this, and the whole time, like, oh, I'm a photographer, but like they ain't got no camera. They just walk around taking pictures on their iPhone. And there's no knock to that shit, but it's like, nigga, you don't really do that.
Do photography. Like,
this nigga Mo Tizzy, you see this nigga's either a beat, he either shooting some shit, he walking around with the rig on, he hosted a podcast. Like, he really doing this shit, like, all, and it's all on a high level. So hats off to you, bro, for actually doing it what you said you do. Like,
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, and the proof is in the pudding again, because I was going through your Instagram too, and I was like, producer, and then I was like, oh, direct. Oh, he said he directed this video, and then I see the photo where he has the rig and shit on, I was like, okay. And then listening to the interview that Lo sent me, you talking about like you're also a podcast. I'm like, oh, this nigga really does everything.
Yeah.
When do you sleep?
Right.
Yeah, and I work at the plant.
I'm a hardworking blue collar man.
It makes sense. He sleep at the plant. Like, that's what it is.
So I really don't sleep too much for real.
Yeah.
We start off, I guess, Log and or Tizzy, you can just explain, I guess, how y'all's relationship came to be or how y'all meet and everything.
My nutter ass homeboy, Amp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to Ant, Wild Boy.
Yeah, I know we play a lot of Ant on the pod, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. GTA himself.
Yes.
my nigga Ant, Ant Dog, Ant Pillar, the School Crab Killer, etc. That's my motherfucking guy, man. I had known he had did a pod with Lo, Ski. Whatever was one of them your names you want
to
go by.
Hey man, look, you gotta change the names up too, because I can't have them on me, bro. Like, I can't have them on me like that. You
know what I'm saying? Like 30 of them. I'm like, oh shit, let me catch one of them. Yeah, but it was a good show. Like, you know, very entertaining. I'm like, I fuck with dog. So I just followed him on Facebook, I believe, and Instagram.
Yeah.
was paying attention. I'm like, he dope at what he do. Like, integrity. I appreciate anybody that, you know, don't mind being themselves. You know, we live in a world full of a bunch of fakers.
Yeah, yeah.
So anybody that's genuine, man, I appreciate it. So,
man, appreciate that.
I pretty much, you know, recognize him through fucking with, and I'm like, all right. So once this joint came out, I'm like, I'm gonna do a pod with bro. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, for sure. So to get started with, I guess, your career, I was listening to the episode. You got into hip hop, I think you said, from listening to like a DMX track and like a Swiss Beats joint, or like your family comes from music, your mom playing the piano and all that. Explain the start with music and producing for you.
Oh, well, I actually became a hip hop fan prior to DMX. My first favorite rapper was Ice Cube.
Okay.
You know, I was young as hell. I was like six. You know,
trying to figure out what a bird in the hand and two of the bush meant. Like,
I had a song called Gangster Fairy Tales and it was over.
Yeah.
That song, like, I used to listen to it before I went to sleep every night, everything. But that was like my nigga. And then I saw Juice too. Okay. Saw the movie Juice. Saw the nigga Q DJ, and I'm like, I wanted to DJ first before I start making beats.
Okay.
I originally wanted to DJ. I seen how he was in Juice. I'm like, this shit dope as hell.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of like my niggas in my neighborhood, my close friends that's from my block, Ferguson, okay, in between 6 and 7 miles, 48235 type shit.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? But West Side nigga for sure. And then fast forward, I used to get kicked out of class for making noises with my mouth being on the table and shit. This was around the time Busta Rhymes, Put Your Hands on My Eyes.
Okay.
And you know, you making a beat on the table, I'm making a noise with my mouth. I used to get kicked out of class. And then Rough Riders anthem dropped. I'm like, this shit sounds easy as hell.
Yeah.
It sounded so easy.
Niggas used to play that on the piano all the time, yeah, like in school. Yeah. You'd be like, "Oh, hit that shit!" Yeah,
I'm like, I can do that.
Like this is nothing, right? That's all it means to be a producer. Make
all right, loop that. All right, we got one.
Yep, it was so cheesy when you look back at it. DMX made it hard.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
and my mom's and my brother came together, got me a keyboard for my 12th birthday, and she is a trained piano player. She knows how to play the piano. She ain't teach me shit. She ain't teach me shit. She told me, if you really want to do this shit, you go teach yourself.
See, that's real. That's real.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was out. I laughed. I was like, oh, what she said? I ain't teaching you. But it was like, okay, but if you, it's going to show me if this is what you really want,
yeah,
you're going to learn it yourself.
That's that Jedi mind trick. That's what it was. use the force.
It was like, you ain't gonna teach me. I'm gonna show you, mama. Mm.
Right. Nigga turned into Beethoven up in his room. Mashing on the keys.
Right.
Nigga playing all types of classical shit. This nigga, what is this nigga doing? This nigga think he, hey, Mozart, we trying to go to sleep, nigga.
Yeah, I was like, All right, well. She told me, she like, once you know how to replay other people's shit, you'll know how to, you know, you'll figure out how to make your own beats and
Well, see, I'm glad, you know, when I hear that, and we was talking about it a little bit before we started the show, Tizzy, but like it's in you. You know what I'm saying? And it's been in you since a kid. It's not just some like, oh, I just see this and I just want to try this shit. And I think something has to be said for that, because there's a passion there. There's a expertise. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a skill set. You know what I'm saying? That's some shit that you've cultivated like for your whole life. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just, oh, that would be cool if I could just, yeah, so what do I got to do? Nah, nigga, like, I've been doing this. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
And then one of the things I really loved hearing you talk about was the fact that you read the credits. I was like, yo, that's shit I used to love to do, just reading the credits to find out, okay, who made this? I was like, oh yeah, he a real like old school hip hop head. Like I used to grow up reading the credits. Like, oh,
well, you used to collect the book. You used to collect the books.
Yeah, my brother taught me where the producer was. He was like, what you doing? Because this is really like before I realized who Swizz Beatz was. And once I got an idea of what that job title meant, I started going back. I'm like, damn.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my favorite producer of all time is Jermaine Dupri.
Oh.
Mine's too.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's because, wait, hold on, Tizzy. That's because Smiles was a big, Smiles from Ohio. So he's a big Bow Wow fan.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man.
A super Bow Wow stan.
Like, I ain't mad at the Bow Wow. Like, and I'm going to tell you why. Bounce With Me was my shit. Like, when everybody else hated the nigga, I was in the corner somewhere like, bitch. I fuck with Bounce With Me. And Puppy Love, nigga.
Oh, yeah, that was my shit.
Man, what?
Was Jagged Edge on that one?
Yeah, yep. No, that was a... yeah, it was.
Yeah, they did the hook for Puppy Love, yep.
Yeah, that was my shit. That was really my shit.
This is a Bow Wow appreciation episode right here.
Right.
Dog got hits. I ain't gonna
Yeah, I was like, oh, what he grew up to be after that, that don't mean
right, that don't have another, it's a cutoff point.
Yeah.
Nigga, we was kids.
Right. I always tell people, like, yeah, that was the first CD that my mom ever let me buy with, like, my own money. It was like, oh, what? I can go buy a CD? And she was like, oh, yeah, but it got to be clean. And I was like, oh, well, I hear this little Bow Wow, and he's from Ohio or whatever.
Yeah.
Where are you from in Ohio?
Akron.
Oh, okay. Yep. That's small, right?
Yep. Home of LeBron James.
Man, I met a nigga from Akron, Ohio, bro. When I went to Job Corps,
Okay.
That nigga was different. I wish I remembered that nigga name, dog. He was different. He had the gold bottom. He said he was originally from Columbus.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Columbus. It's Columbus, yeah. Youngstown, Dayton, Cincinnati, Toledo. I'm probably Dayton missing one. Cleveland, of course. Oh, yeah, Dayton niggas is way different. Shout out to Flint Fever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we fuck with Dayton, but they like Detroit. It's basically the Detroit of Ohio.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cleveland, though. I fucks with Cleveland, too, though. But
yeah, man. Ohio is one hell of a place. That bitch, Ohio big as fuck.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We dominated college radio for 4 years down there. So like niggas better, like we did, we used to get it in Ohio, you know what I'm saying?
And like Killer Cam said, but that's why we got the Midwest held down between Detroit and Ohio and Cleveland and all that.
Facts.
And that foul ass nigga from Minnesota doing that chicken head or whatever that dance is doing. That Steve old nigga that's, I can't remember, but he from Minnesota.
I remember.
I didn't know he was from Minnesota.
Hey, look, we gonna leave Minnesota over there. I don't.
You talking about Steve-O, the white dude,
black guy? He got locks. He be doing some shit where he drop down and get his eagle on.
I ain't hip.
Oh man, that shit. That's like wildest shit ever.
Nigga. But
it's white people. It's white people.
Well, one of the things, because you was talking about like your influences and stuff, right? And that's why I'm glad like we got a real producer on here, because like we fuck with different artists and this and that, Tizzy. But like the thing me and Smiles kind of do is like we try to be like on some like A&R shit, right? So like we rock with a lot of different artists, but we try to like curate the music, or like a lot of people will send us their unreleased stuff. You know what I'm saying? Ask for feedback and this and that. And a little bit of it is like, I remember reading in the Angie Martinez book, she talked about how like Jay-Z used to like pull up to the studio to get her feedback. Like he call her, tell her to come down, get in the car. They going through the tracks. He taking notes on her reaction and everything. And then like Angie was surprised when the album finally drops a week later, but he made all the changes that like she said or whatever, right? So building that rapport with the artists and all that when they coming up, that's what we trying to do. Like we could go around here and try to chase after these celebrities and interview them, but they ain't really gonna like talk to us like that for real. Like, it's gonna be the same cookie cutter answer. So we trying to like rise up with our peers and you know what I'm saying, be the trusted media correspondents like with the niggas that we fuck with in the wave, you know what I'm saying, that we all own and everything, right?
Yeah.
And I say that because like, you know, you from the city. tell us a little bit about just like Cloud Catchers and all that, because like we talked about like your relationship with Ant, but like how did that, like I heard his origin story, but how did from your vantage point, how did it all form together?
You taking me back. Basically, the studio that everybody work out of, Isolation Studios, okay. Sorry, we are pretty much, you know, met there. I started working, you know who Train is.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Train. He be sending me 3-6. We be going back and forth with the 3-6 Mafia shit, man. That's my dog.
Yeah, man, that's my ace. That's a another close friend. Nice. He brought me in to work with this guy, Acapella. He go by Tristan Knight now. That's how I got to Azar Studio. And everybody was there. Hunted, Stack, Illuminati G, Frost is Rad, Red's on Ted, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I kind of moved away and, you know, we slowed down production-wise with him. You know, I just kept working on my own. And Ant came to me like, hey, bro, they want you to join the Cloud Catchers. At the time, it was just Stat, Hunted, and G.
Okay.
And they was like, they wanted me to be a part of it. Now, I'm the only one from the West Side. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That this is a producer's collective.
This uh-huh. So this some Death Row shit, basically. Like.
In a way, but nah.
nigga walked into an all blood party. I was like, what's up, cuz? They like, who's that nigga?
Yeah, they asked that. That was 10 years ago. That was 10 years ago. I've been riding with them for 10 years, you know. And I still rock with my guys. Dash House, it was up and running prior to that. And my 326 guys from my neighborhood, FAM. That's Ferguson, Asbury, Murray Hill.
Okay.
Prior to Producer Collective, that's where I roll with the Cloud Catchers. Now is Hunted, Illuminati G, Stack Steel, Champ, Nike Mikey.
Okay.
It's a lot of us. It's a lot of us. Well, and MP, of course, me and Train, which we make the Mega Powers.
Okay.
We've been all locked in for 10 years.
Well, I wanted to highlight that though, because, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I know you move around in the industry, right? Everybody is already self-contained. Everybody has their own team and their own crew for real. And it's like, yeah, you could get some work with some other people, and if you're nice, they'll keep working with you. But for the most part, you kind of got to build your own crew and come into the game, right? You can't like just be expecting to like, oh, I'm just going to come in and niggas is going to pick me up.
They're just going to let me in like, hey, you nice. Yeah. Let's come on.
Yeah, nah. I feel like you got to show up with the gang and be like we all got to kick the dough in together. Like now, has that been your experience or like what's it been like from your end?
Well, the good thing about all of us that, you know, we produce our own situations. You know what I'm saying? Like individually, everybody got their own situations going on. We just bring everything together when it's time for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
You're basically right, yeah. You know, when they come by, for instance, I'm doing another interview where I'm like, yeah, these are my guys. This is who I'm with, Cloud Catchers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, really? Who are they? And you get to saying names. They're like, damn, all right, I know him. I heard him. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. That's about right.
But y'all all get busy though. Is the thing though. It ain't because a lot of times it just be one nigga and a bunch of niggas just kind of just standing there waiting. Yeah. But like, ain't none of y'all niggas waiting on shit. Like it's like, what's the work?
Y'all move for real.
That's dope. That's dope.
Kind of going off of that, you know, being a like a producer collective and, you know, again the big guys, you know, like the Swiss Beats, the Timberlands, and all that, the Pharrells and everything. I want to know, as far as like, you know, being a beat maker versus a producer, can you remember like the first time you really felt like you went from being a beat maker to a producer, or was it always somewhere you like, yeah, I'm a producer, where like when you're working with artists and you weren't afraid to say, hey, nah, you could change that, or hey, let's switch that up, or even if an artist even gave you some feedback like, hey, like I like this, you can keep like maybe like this part of the beat, but can you switch it up, like do you remember like the first time you really did that, or has that always been like ingrained in you because you went back to like the old school days?
I pretty much always been like that, but when I enforced it in a sense is when we was working on my boy Acapella album and he was recording a song we got called Pain.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like he could give more conviction, you know, and the hook, because that's what he was doing first. And I was like, I think you can give me more than that. And, you know, being a rapper, he was resisting at first, but it pissed him off. So back into the booth, it was exactly what I wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
And that was the moment when I was like, all right. And I started doing that pretty much everything that I do from that point forward.
So talk a little bit about that, because one of the friends to the podcast, our dog Alex Kane, like he produces, yeah, and he, like a lot of the beats and stuff, like our music beds underneath, he produced a lot of those. But you know, I work closely with him on some stuff and everything, because like we got our agency going. And like, talk a little bit as a producer, what it's like, like you said, dealing with different artists. But like, when you're trying to sell beats and people just, oh man, how much for this? Or like the nigga that you posted on a reel or something, and they just, oh, this is fire, but they ain't trying to buy the shit. Or like, talk a little bit about navigating that process.
Especially like, the window shoppers. From the same hood, get a discount.
How do you deal with the window shoppers?
I appreciate the window shoppers for one, because when you comment, people will go through the comments sometimes to look for, you know, negativity or positivity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Enough comments can cause another person to comment, which is bringing traction to the initial post, which possibly will draw somebody that's go buy the joint.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what happens a lot of the times when I post a reel. I'm going to say a good 91% of the time, those beats are sold.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
So I don't mind the window shoppers, because it draws other people to engage. You know what I'm saying? And the more people engage, you know, the person that want to buy it, you know, you create your own motion.
Yep.
You don't have to go chasing nobody. They really going to come to you. And for me, you know, I've been producing for so long, like, people come to me because I've established the sound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I don't mind the window shoppers.
And then even with that, what about just understanding your value? Even again, like paying for the beats and the production, because you know you
your
might
price
have that
is
artist
your price.
Like you like you may have like, hey, these beats are like, you know, 150, 200 or whatever. I don't know like what production beats cost, but it's like, oh come on man, like let me all I got is like 50, because One thing I hate is, especially like coming up artists, you have an artist, again, they want to pay, you know, $100, $200 for like, you know, weed and drink and all that. But then when it comes like your video or your production,
how much for
like,
a zip?
hey, come on, bro. Give me like the discount. Like, no, I'm not about to give you like a $300 worth video. And you talking about you want to give me like $100.
Niggas are spending money in the studio on everything but the beat, nigga. The drinks, the weed, the raps. Right.
You really gotta, you know, in some instances, you gotta really understand what's worth it and what's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Some things it's cool to, you know, take the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I done gave a lot of beats away, you know, for no upfront cost, but I make money on the back end. Like, the producer owns the record regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have percentages for the song regardless what happens. You know, if you make nothing on it, if you make $1 million, we getting a nice portion of that $1 million. So,
right.
You know, you really got to know what the artists themselves are doing. A lot of times, artists will record a song and they drop it. They don't promote it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want success so bad that they confuse quantity over quality.
Yep.
What I mean by that is they'll create 30, 40 albums when it's easier to just push a song.
Yep.
It's way easier to just push a song. So you really got to pay attention to what the artist is doing to gauge if you want to deal with their ass or not. Because a lot of times it don't be worth it. It don't be worth it.
Yeah.
And people that want discounts, I just block. You're coming to me for a price and you giving me a headache about it, you know, and we can't come to some type of, you know,
middle ground or something.
So question there, and I'm asking you, Tizzy, is because it's some Detroit shit, and I need you to let me know like if I'm still on base here. So a couple years back, I was working at the radio station down here. Thought it was my dream job, right? I thought I was killing that shit, but I was in sales. They put me in sales. So, like, I'm doing the behind the scenes, like, negotiating the contracts and all that shit. Now, what I learned about being down here, and I was getting irritated because, like, these niggas is hagglers. You feel what I'm saying? I'm like, Detroit, I feel like Detroit is a transactional town where it's like, now, it may have changed since I've been gone, but when I was coming up, Detroit was, you need something, I got it, this is how much I got it for. You can pay it or you can get the fuck on. Now, if you come up and you standing there trying to haggle in this net, niggas is going to think you playing. And if they think you playing, you may get stripped.
Yeah.
Or they may just rob you anyway and tell you to get the fuck off for coming over here playing. So that's always been ingrained in like my that's my negotiation tactic. Like, the price is the price. You keep playing, you gonna lose your shirt, nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? Get the fuck on. Now, I realize you can't be like that in the business world, but you kind of can. So tell me, like, has that been your experience in some cases, or like with different artists from around other places, or like what's it been for you?
Well, it goes two ways. I either get my price or we work something out.
Okay.
I don't get a lot of people that do too much. Mm-hmm. I don't deal with that. I really don't, like. And I'm good for just stopping. Once I've sensed some bullshit coming, I just stop.
Yep.
I don't respond. So
yeah, it's like I'm not even gonna respond to that message.
I had to learn.
So, yeah, Detroit is like that. Either you got it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can, you know, artists got to understand, like, you got to build a relationship with producers. You know what I'm saying? We don't mind working some out, but be willing to establish that type of relationship to where a producer feel comfortable with doing so, as well as offer some progress in your career.
Yeah.
If it ain't always about the money. Like, you could buy a beat. Again, I just was speaking, like, a nigga can drop the song and do nothing with it. They just think the bitch got his own leg.
Mm-hmm.
There's no progression in it.
You so, not Drake, nigga. Like yeah. You can't do a surprise drop and just be like, here you go. You got to work a record.
I had an artist actually just tell me that recently. He was telling me how, because I was mentioning how in 2022, I was like, yeah, it seemed like you went on like a guest feature run and you was just killing all these features. He was like, yeah, he's like, it's one. He's like, I gave it to a homie and it's been about 6 months. He's like, and I'm getting ready to tell him, like, hey, dog, if you don't do nothing with that song, I'm taking my verse back and I'm about to drop it on something totally different. Like, he was like, and I didn't charge him for it. So he was like, nah, I'm like, nigga, I like that verse. So you need to do something with it.
Has that ever happened to you, Tizzy? You ever had to take some shit back because a nigga sat on it too long?
Oh, I don't take shit back. I just send it to somebody else. I don't tell you nothing. I don't nothing. I just, it gotta go. It gotta move. Shit.
Yeah, yeah. The work gotta move. It can't sit here.
Especially if you ain't paid me for it. I mean, I just had a situation happen recently. A nigga just dropped a song. I sent him a beat pack. I didn't hear nothing from him. I sent the beat pack to somebody else. He picked the beat, did a song and everything. Out of nowhere, this nigga drops a video.
Mm.
So I'm like, damn, man. By this time, I done forgot about the song my man had recorded.
Mm-hmm.
I done forgot that he even had the beat.
Mm-hmm.
So that come out. He got the song. So now, just because he my little bro, I'm like, I'm going to fix it. You know what I'm saying? That was my fault. But normally, shit, I just send that shit. I just send it. Gotta go.
That's how it's gotta be, though. Mm. That's how
business
it's
gotta be. Business.
Yep.
Yeah, business is business. Yeah.
Okay, so right there. My next question. You've been in the game a minute now. Do you think or feel that like music is fizzling out now? Like, the business is there because it's become more of a business. But music as an art form, do you see it kind of like being drowned out now, because like the appreciation for it don't seem like it's there these days. It seems like we just got to do this, get some money off of it, and move to the next one.
Yeah, the art itself is non-existent. You know, they've turned it into a cash grab. That's why you got a lot of like songs and albums that's not even lasting a weekend.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You got a rare amount of artists that stand the test of time. Like, you like, you'll go back and listen to the song. You'll go back and listen to the album.
Yeah.
We don't have that no more. Like, in 2050-something, nobody's going to be listening to nothing from 2020.
Nope. You know, none of this stuff is timeless. None of this new stuff is timeless at all.
Yeah, I was like, none of these artists are going to be like, hey, 20, 30 years down, I'm like, this is still a jam. I'm like, nah.
Well, no, even to that point, like we talk about, like, I think of something like Good Kid, M.A.A.d City. Cohesive concept. Like it's a story from the beginning to the end.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Neezy here. I wanted to make sure that y'all go and get your Naturally Nate Instant Moisture Duo. That's right. You know, this Instant Moisture Duo can be used on braids, locks, twists, beards, and all of your natural hair. The moisturizer is all natural ingredients. One of our key ingredients, aloe vera. You know, aloe vera is really great for your scalp. And our oil blend is a mixture of the best oils that you can use to promote hair growth and give your hair a good shine and overall just a natural glow. So you're getting two amazing products. Make sure you go to inaudibleruckus.com/naturallynay. And also you can follow us on Instagram at naturally_nay, N-A-E-E.
The hottest artists of today, the Lil Babies, the Moneybagg Yos, the you name it, right? They just throw 12, 13, 14, 15 songs together and that's it. It's just club track after club. They don't even do no skits. It ain't no, all right, let me just do these records.
Ain't no sequencing. Like
none of that shit. And I hate that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like on some like wannabe A&R shit. I'm like, nah, sequence this shit. It should be a sonic experience. They don't even care.
You know who I do like? I like Lil Baby.
I like him. I just don't like his albums.
I think like Kodak Black is one of them niggas for me that I'm going back to listen to his music. 21 Savage, Corday, you know, people like
yeah,
that.
I like Corday.
I like 21 Savage. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how old y'all are, but I'm about to be 37, so we have different standards.
Okay, you're just a couple years old.
Yep, 35.
Yeah.
Look, you in there. Look. Yeah. We knocking on 40 together. Nigga, let's walk up.
Yeah, we all got a different, you know, experience when it comes to music. Because we still go back and listen to shit from, you know, when we was in high school, middle school. We still go back and listen to it. So it's basically like the art is dead. The art, even with everything though, like with rap, R&B, music production. Mm-hmm. Music videos is not creative no more. Like, I was just telling my homeboy, I was watching the video and it was so many transitions. I felt like I was about to have a seizure because the flash of lights, it was just like, oh shit. Yeah. Just, oh shit. Oh shit. It was like, what the fuck? All of these transitions and it's flashing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I believe the artist did as far as the popular scale.
Right. Yeah. It's,
the shit you don't see is art in that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's the underground music, the non-popular music. Is the art still lives in that, but the shit that they put in front of us, no.
So talk a little bit too, because you produce and direct music videos too. When you sitting there and you going over the treatment and stuff, and they're like, all right, so we're going to pull up over at this house over here. I want to have a chopper. I want to have two Glocks with the switch. And you like, nah, bro, let's try some more artistic shit. I'm going to get my drone. I'll be back. Like, how do you try to, like, make a – because, you know, no disrespect to the city, but it's like, all right, buffs, whole bunch of money, fast car, we got the video. Like, how do you, like, steer away from the typical norm, or you just give them what they ask for?
Well, you know, for me, I don't want to – I don't want to shoot a video of niggas pointing guns at me. Shit, you know what I'm saying?
It's not safe. Those ain't props, despite what they say.
Right, right. This is like, we don't need no incidences on the scene.
Right.
The video that you guys saw, he was the guy that actually taught me how to shoot videos because he shoot videos.
Okay.
Okay.
Hall of Fame Ja, that's who I do the podcast with as well.
Gotcha.
he taught me how to shoot the videos. And for me, I was just, if I'm shooting any videos, it's going to be content based. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something that we can create a storyline for and be creative, you know, get an Airbnb, get a rental, something, mm-hmm. create a storyline, like, mm-hmm. niggas done burnt downtown Detroit out with yeah. music. You know? Like, you see the same shit, the L train going by mm-hmm. now, by Joe Louis Arena, yep. RP, you know what I'm saying? So it's just, I would want to shoot with artists that are content based, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to shoot none of the, I don't have a problem with the, with right. the pop music, but if I had to choose, I'm not shooting none of the shit.
Gotcha.
I prefer to shoot content-based music. Something that a nigga can really be creative with.
Yeah, definitely for sure. Even going off of that with the producing and all that, again, the podcast, so explain a little bit about the podcast that you got going on.
Yeah.
Well,
talk to us about that.
It's called the Oppression Olympics, and we talk about, you know, serious matters within the Black community, within ourselves as individuals. We interview some artists, some regular people
mm-hmm.
Off the street that we might not know, but if I'm feeling the vibe or he feeling the vibe, we'll tap in with him, like, can we sit down with you? And, you know, like I said, just discuss personal issues, your outlook on life. You know, we mm-hmm. put these experiences and go from there for the most part.
Yeah. So how did you get into, first of all, welcome to the pod space. Like, for a minute, they was like, you know, everybody want to do it, but we always sit back here and wait because we like, all right, let's see if niggas make it past episode 7. Because yeah. This shit is tough. So how has your pod journey been, like, since starting it and everything? Because, like, the concept of the show sounds dope. So that's already one, you know what I'm saying, one checked off the list. Like, all right, strong concept, we good. But, like, how has the rest of it been for you as far as, like, keeping it up and, like sourcing the people to keep it going?
Yeah, well, we're getting ready to release our first full episode prior to that.
Okay.
Link up, talk. And we will post clips on Instagram.
Okay.
And we never released a full episode but once.
Gotcha.
And that's what our guy Finkel got. And again, I didn't know him. I didn't know him from a can of paint. Mm. I just liked what he was doing on Instagram. And, you know, he was giving game.
He
got OG status, you know, and he just was lacing niggas with game. And I'm like, I like what he's doing. And it's real shit. So I'm like, you know, let's sit down with him.
Yeah.
And, but it's like a form of therapy.
It really is. Really
yeah, is. We talk about that all the time.
It really is. That's why I can't stop, bro. Because it's like this is my outlet. Like, this is my rep. You know what I'm saying?
It's another form of releasing. Especially with our topic base. It's real, like, personal issues sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit that we think about. You know what I mean? So... yeah, it's a form of therapy.
That's real. Talk a little bit about, because we, of course, we talk about the city, but like, what's your thoughts on the Detroit scene now? Because I have been preaching this for the longest. I said, we're gonna get our turn. So I'm glad to see, like, the world, like, pay attention to us, but, like, especially for somebody who's been on the scene for so long and watching kind of the transitions and seeing all the different sounds kind of converge when they have. How do you feel now just about the city kind of getting that national look?
I feel great about it because a lot of the artists that you're getting to see has been working for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've always been amongst the popular Detroit scene, but, you know, now the world gets to see him, and I love it. I'm happy about it.
I was gonna say, even with that, one of my favorite projects this year from a mainstream artist is actually Cash Doll's Back on Dexter, and she got, you know, everybody on that project. Because I was actually just talking to our homie A Dub recently, like, yo, this really is a fire. It's like, I listened to, like, the one time, but then I went back. I'm like, oh, I found myself going back a couple times. Like, oh, I want to play this track. I want to play this track, and it's like, I love the fact that she, you know, putting folks in Detroit on. It's like every single song is a feature from someone different.
Yep.
And what I like about that is she is still her. I went to high school.
A she word? Was,
yeah. What's
up? So you know her real age then. No. Moving on. Moving on.
And she was an underclassman. So.
He's like, she's younger than me.
Exclusive. World premiere on Music Impulse. Yeah. That's going to be the headline. Mo Tizzy shares Cash Doll.
Cash Doll's real age.
Don't give me blackball.
But we ain't going to do you like that.
No.
She has always been like big personality, loud, fun. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? She has always been that. What you guys are seeing, the way that she talk, that has always been her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
I'm glad that she put the hood on the map, because like Tizzy, we was talking a little bit before the show started, you know, because that's why I had to ask, you know how I go in Detroit, like when you do the, especially when you out of town, like, oh, you from Detroit, ah, east or west, right? Then if a nigga say east, you kind of just be like, oh, okay, that's something, you just walk away, you just leave the conversation, because there's no need for me to probe any further, like it don't matter. But if it's west side, then we got to get to like, all right, well, what part of the west side you from and all that. And like 7 Mile niggas, Joy Road niggas now, and you know, even the PA niggas, 6 Mile niggas, everybody get that shine. But I feel like Dexter don't really, you know what I'm saying, get that national love, not even around the city, but even outside the city too. So anytime she out there and like she promoting and throwing the hood up and shit, I love it, and I'm always gonna cheer for that shit.
She is a typical Dexter girl. Mm-hmm. Every Dexter girl I know is just like that, loud, like a female nigga
calling you broke.
Bossy as fuck. Yep. Like, so, yeah. Like I said, I don't... For me, Detroit is Detroit. I don't... even though we're split up by size and neighborhoods, Detroit is Detroit. I love east, west, southwest, mm-hmm. whatever. You know, I don't look at it any different. It's Detroit as a whole is just great.
Yep.
You know? And I just feel like we the melting pot. Like, we have so many different sounds.
Yes, yes.
Any kind of music. Any kind of music you're looking for, Detroit has so many different variations.
I was talking about that a little bit, and I'm glad because we got a producer on here, so we could get into the shits now. Because we was talking like music, like how the shit just, the art form is gone. But I to kind of like mix it up, like we was talking about Tizzy, like switching up a little bit. Yeah. I started back listening to Afro jazz because my uncle, when he was alive, he made me like this CD. I lost the CD, but I realized I had the playlist saved somewhere else. So I found everything on Spotify and remade the playlist. So I got an Afro jazz playlist. But then also I got back into like my techno, like electronic bag or whatever, because nobody talks about the techno influence in like on the Detroit scene and like really what we have there. Like, I got a whole playlist, and this is all underground Detroit techno from the 80s and 90s, bro. And that shit slap from top to bottom. See, my nigga,
you and I didn't know that.
like bro,
Detroit is the home of techno.
Yeah,
house music.
Yep.
Like, we're the home of that shit. Like, everybody else, you know, in some different places, they try to claim it, but we created a lot of vibes here. It's just like I always say, Detroit don't like shit until everybody else like it.
Yeah. Cause I always say, why don't a nigga like go and like just get into the all techno bag and flip like samples from that, or like flip like old Motown shit and like really like capture the essence of like what the city is? And niggas will do it, but I'm like, lean into that shit and like own it.
It's just those, the atmosphere for that music, it, to me, I don't think it's around them.
Gotcha.
Like, you're flipping the techno music because we don't have house parties like we used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dancing like they used to. It's like,
niggas ain't, wait, Tizzy, niggas ain't jitting no more? The jit battles don't break out at the cookout?
That shit dead. No. I'm gonna put it like this.
Damn.
A party here, a nigga either gonna fight or shoot you or stab you. That's it.
That's it.
It's bad, man.
Yeah, I was even talking to my barber, because my barber also DJs on the side. That's really like his main hustle. And we were just talking about how, like, yeah, like these DJs and these parties, like the younger DJs and these parties now, he's like, yo, don't nobody want to dance. He was like, he's like, these niggas really just want to play bang bang shoot 'em up music every song. And it's like, yo, the women aren't going to want to dance to, like, you know, the Little Durks or the Who Wants Smoke and like that whole playlist. He was like, yeah, like those joints like jam, like, you know, when I'm riding around the whip or they're chilling or whatever. But when I go out to the club, I'm not trying to hear all that shit. Like,
I had
to
ask my little cousin, Free Myth G, man. I talked to him last week, man. Little cuz called me. We chopped it up. And when he was rapping, he had some good songs. He got like a melodic vibe to him or whatever. And I'm like, and I asked him, I was like, cuz, have you ever been in love, nigga? He was like, what you talking about? I was like, why don't you make a song like taking a chick on a date or like spitting some game, like do some boss player shit. Why you gotta drop an op and pop a cop and you're like, why you gotta do that shit every track? And the shit is fire, like sonically wise, but it's like, bro, mix it up a little bit. God damn.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're not selling that to our people. They selling that shit to our. They selling killing it, killing our people. They selling being a dope fiend. Our people, like the drug dealer, is not even cool no more.
Right,
right.
This is junkie rap that we listening to now, man. This is user rap.
Hey, you just gotta. And women have a hand in the climate and music because they are the main consumers.
Yep.
So all this violent shit that you hear, they twerking to that shit. They want to hear that shit. The female friendly songs, it depends on it gotta be toxic. You know what I'm saying? Like, women our age and older, they
we want to hear that scissor talking about, you know, fuck that nigga and like, do all this.
The women our age and older, they like the love aspect of music. Even some of the women our age have gotten caught up in the gang banger mentality and thug mentality and just being a straight up nigga, like ratchet, everything, right?
Popping on the headlights at the red lights. Like, man, bitch, get in the car, man. What you doing?
that's why I say the dance aspect of the music, especially in the black community, like, you gotta be at a rare party to hear that shit. And, get around that crowd of people that still like that shit, like that. Dun, 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 dun. What's that? That Godzilla.
Yeah. Oh no, my favorite one of all time, and I listened to it. It probably was one of the most played songs on my playlist when Spotify sent that shit out. Cosmic Rain Dance, nigga.
Damn.
Nigga. And now I got some shit because, so candidly, I'll tell you this too. I'm working on a little something. I'm dabbling into the music space a little bit, but I got a flip that's I've been sitting on for my dog cooked it up for me and everything, like, and I got a verse to that shit. This shit hard as fuck. Is it, niggas ain't even gonna hear it coming, but like, my dog flipped that. He flipped it way different. And then I saw Oba Roland dropped a little like freestyle video to the shit, and that shit was hard, and I was like, I'm glad I came a different way on it. First off, it's Oba, like let's be clear, it's, my shit ain't never gonna like be on that level, but like, I'm talking sonic appreciation for the song and the way that nigga did that shit. I'm like, that's how, in my head, when I first thought of it, I was like, that's how I would have came. But I was like, I gotta come way different than that. Then I fucked around because he used the clip, like the old dance club shit or whatever. My mom was in the fucking video, bro. I screenshotted that shit. I'm like, mom, she was dignified. If she wasn't tripping, but like, she was getting it though. Like, and I'm like, mom, this shit. She's like, that's not me. I screenshotted it, sent it to the whole family, and for like months we was doing investigative reporting. Then finally, she came down to visit for my birthday earlier this year. And she was like, yeah, that was me. And then I was like, I know it.
Overall, I'm gonna say one of the most creative artists from here.
Hell yeah.
And then climbing right now in the last 10 years, from what I remember, he is one of the most creative artists from here. So,
yeah.
I check out all his music too, for sure.
I went to middle school because I went to Burton downtown. So, like, they was a couple years older, but him, Tommy Walker from Detroit versus everybody, Burton was up there with, like, Bass. I feel like them two produced, like, a lot of niggas from the culture, like they came out of them schools.
And my mama tried to get me in Bates Academy, but my citizenship was all threes.
Yeah, it was a little stuffy up in there. Yeah, I passed the test, but it was like, no, you going downtown. Like, cause
I was good academically, but
what they say, an A3 student? You was like me there, like, nigga talk too much. Get into trouble.
I played too much. I was wild. So, they went to me in that bitch.
let me ask you this, though. Kind of going back to what we was talking about, like, the impact on the music and how it's changing. What are your thoughts on, like how the AI technology is being applied to shit now? Because, like, I feel like that's going to fuck the game up even faster. Like,
you don't kill me for this. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay.
Because I've heard some people, like, in the industry actually say, like, no, like, I'm cool with it. Like,
using other people's voices,
mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I feel like that's a form of robbery. But you also don't know what, when you sign a contract with these record labels, you don't know a lot of things you're giving up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they could possibly own your voice and
you don't even know.
You won't have no control over it. Like, somebody can drop an AI verse with your vocals and you can't get them to take it down because you don't know what you've given up when you sign to these labels.
Yeah.
Just like with streaming. It was, you know, the contract made sense up until niggas wasn't going to buy physical copies.
Right.
But I like it. It's another form of being creative.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do like about it, and you gotta challenge yourself to do something
different. Yeah, that's what one of the engineers that I really rock with said. He was like, yo, I fucks with it because it's just gonna, like, the artists that are, like, real artists and, like, really take care of, like, it's just gonna force them to think outside the box, like, all right, how can this be another stream of revenue for me?
That's what it is. It's gonna create a barrier of entry so that only the real niggas is the real artists is gonna wanna put up with it. All the, like, half ass niggas is gonna be like, I ain't got time for this. I ain't got time for this. Y'all gotta do what for the podcast? Aw, man.
But he's being too hard, niggas gonna run away from. Yeah. So you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it in that aspect, but you might be right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's gonna be a bitch.
I'm kind of with you, though, Tizzy, because I don't know what to make of anything yet, right? I'm one of those people, I let shit play out and see what it's going to be. I'm not going to panic or whatever, because clearly we here. Like, they're not going to tuck it back in the box and do away with it, so it's like adjust.
They trying to figure out a way they ain't got to pay you niggas.
Right.
Right.
And if I do pay you niggas, it's going to be worth it.
But that's why I'm like, we need to do our best, us as black people, because we always late on everything. We got to get ahead on how to use this shit and how to work it and all that, because even if it replaces jobs, the people, the engineers and the people who know how to run the softwares and the applications will still have jobs, because the shit is going to have some, like, errors and shit. There's going to be niggas that's got to check that. So if we can, like, master it and at least, like, all right, it's like being a maintenance man. Like, all right, nigga, come in and fix this AI. It's acting up. We need it done. All right, here go $5,000, nigga, because you just logged in and coded it different, and we good. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's going to kill a lot of, like I said, it's going to continue to kill the art form.
Yeah. Well, I mean, go ahead.
Even with how we use software rather than hardware to make beats on. You know, the producers from back in the day had hardware like the SP-1200 is the most, like, sick sounds.
Mm-hmm.
How did you create the Chronic with this? How did you create? How did Biggie Warning? He created six sounds.
Yeah,
six.
Yeah,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, bro. I tell niggas in the same vein. I tell niggas when I first started podcasting, right? I started out the mud too, because, like, I did radio all through college and all that shit, but I was trying to do other shit or whatever. And I finally sat down. Shout out to my dog, Jono. He was like, bro, like, just go ahead and start your podcast. I'm like, all right. I bought the microphone, the little USB mic, and I had a laptop. I let that shit sit for 3 months, bro, before I finally, like, all right, let me go ahead and take it out the box. I had SoundForge, which they don't even make SoundForge no more, but I had SoundForge and I only had 2 tracks. So I'm cutting and pasting when I'm editing and, like, stacking the shit side by side, because I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't layer it. So I know we're getting into the weeds here, but, like, y'all niggas gotta learn some shit. So I'm stacking them side by side. So that means I can't lay the music underneath. So I have another laptop over here playing the music while I got the microphone sitting here and got the other laptop up running everything. And that was for the first 115 episodes, bro, until I was able to just go ahead, get Adobe, And then Adobe, like with all their tracks, being able to layer everything and tweak and mix everything. Like, but again, like you just work with what you got until you get what you need. Like, that's really what it is.
Yep.
For real. Yeah, because I had the cheapest keyboard. I was making beats off of that from 98 to 07.
Damn. Mastered the hell out of them keys, huh?
I got the MPC 2500. And I mastered that to a certain degree, but my keyboard was so old.
It's BA, Black IRS, aka Black Wall Street in the building.
This is E-Ray, the quasi-bad guy, the Diet Coke of evil, Peen Malenko, you know, of course, the American cream, Brody Lodes.
And I am your pod guy, your pod tribal chief, the boy A-Dub in the building. And this is Let Me Book the Territory, the greatest four-man wrestling podcast known to mankind.
Absolutely. And you can catch us now on Inaudible Ruckus Presents. And we'll be here every Friday, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're ready for it, to sweep me when you see me and let the madness run wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't MIDI to the MP. So I went and found the old ass ASR-10. This is before the value went up. So Kanye, Timberland, Pharrell, Knots, so many, Jake One. That still use that bitch, right? My dumb ass then didn't understand the value of it, but I got it, and it MIDI with the NPC. Train ass come over. He showed me FL Studio. Which it was so simple.
Yep.
It was so simple. Like,
yeah, Fruity Loops changed the game.
Dummy. Like, if you can't work FL, you're an idiot. Like, flat out, right? So, I'm like, shit, I don't need the hardware no more. Sold it to Train. Train couldn't fuck with it either. Sold it to somebody else. They could.
Just going down the line.
Yeah.
So, but you got to find what works for you, though.
You say that. I'm looking at your background. You got the Rodecaster Pro, right? Yeah. I love that shit. It took me forever. I saved up and I finally got it, right? And it did. It changed, to your point. It simplified everything. Like, I'm like, before, podcasting-wise, I tell niggas, like, okay, are you going to get a USB mic? Are you going to get an XLR? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Like you said, some niggas just had, the MIDI box, and that was it. And so, like, you got to mix it this way. I had a Mackie mixer, like the shit that the DJs and shit be using. So I was using that for the longest. Then when the Rodecaster came out, I was like, we got to wait and see, man. I don't trust that shit. That's new. No, nigga, this shit, like... It makes podcasting for dummies. Like, it simplified it for me, and I know what all I need, like, for a good, like, to like record a good podcast, and it's all in this thing. And I'm like, it's a bunch of people out here buying this shit, getting started, and they don't even know like what it was like using this shit beforehand, nigga. Like all the shit you had to hook up before this shit got here. So y'all welcome, nigga, because goddamn.
As you can see, I got my DJ equipment back there. I'm sitting at my workstation, so can't see my laptops and shit. And my keyboard all over there.
Well, so talk about that though, because again, being invested in what you do, a lot of niggas to niggas that, and I always say this, if you can't, or if you ain't as invested in it, or you don't know what you're doing, yes, go to a studio, pay for that shit. But if it's something that you've taken as a career path, I say like the home setup. So if it's a aspiring producer out there, what's some essentials that you feel that they gotta have in their home studio?
Liquor.
Is that liquor?
Are we? Because if you record niggas, they gonna fuck up. And they gonna redo the verse a million times. You might get lucky and get some one-take niggas. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you gotta have patience. So whatever helps you with your patience.
Whatever helps you with your patience.
That's number one. Number two, you know, like I said, your workspace is you. You know what I'm saying? Whatever makes you comfortable. Like for me, I got a candle. You know what I'm saying? I got... strobe, disco light, damn near, you know, whatever creates the vibes.
Yeah.
And it's based off you as an individual. Like, I got a diffuser. Okay. You know, like some sort of zen, you know, comfort. Mm-hmm. You know, like just make me feel good. Yeah. You know.
So when you're recording, do you prefer like just kind of, because again, do you have the artist come in? Like, do you care like if it's a lot of niggas in there, or you just want to work with just the artist, or you just like to do it by yourself?
I'd rather the artist come like by themselves, because this is my career. So
yeah.
You know, I can't have a lot of people have my career.
Right. Hey, bro, can I use the bathroom real quick? Nigga be like,
we got a few here, so it's fine. But you know, for the most part, I would prefer for them to come solo though.
Gotcha. Yeah, want to pull up with like 5-6 niggas, like, hey, nah. Hey, no.
That's why I had stopped doing interviews too. Like, Zoom made, I told you, Zoom helped, because it's like, oh, I could do this shit without having niggas in my crib, because I'm the same way. Like, I ain't playing that shit. I got about to be 2-year-old, nigga. Like, I don't.
A lot of times niggas think they, you know, they don't know you either, so they kind of are like, you know, I need somebody around it. That made me sort of comfortable. It's cool if you bring like one nigga.
Right.
Like 4 or 5 niggas is crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Especially if all they gonna do is just stand there and smoke and drink, and it's like, y'all.
I know you better help.
Nothing.
Oh, nigga,
yeah, like
help.
You ain't doing nothing for this atmosphere at all.
Get in there and hit them ad libs, nigga. We need the feels, nigga. You can fill in, right? Go ahead.
You better smoke before you get here.
Right. Speaking about that, like having like niggas come to your crib or going to them. What about sending beats? Are you the more like I will, like, if maybe they not in Detroit, they, I don't know, someone in Ohio or whatever. Were you like, hey, yeah, I'll send it to you? Or are you more like, hey, I'd rather, you know, just have you here and so we can get this real vibe 101? Or I'll send you like the beat pack or whatever. And hey, whatever you do with it, just, you know, make sure you run me my money.
Oh, yeah, I'll send the snippet pack for sure. Everything is already at my publishing, so if you decide to use some shit without paying me, I'm gonna get paid anyway. So right. I'll send them all out. It don't matter.
Hey, he said either way, the business is already straight on my end.
that sound like a nigga that know what he doing.
Yeah, which is let's speak on that, about that. Like, yeah, what are some of the things that you had to learn, you know, in the moment, just from the business aspect of being a producer? Like, what was like the first time you really was like, okay, I need to get my business straight?
Yeah,
doing music with your homeboys. Fuck that homeboy business. If you can't separate the business part and the friendship part, it's never gonna work, because anything can happen. I mean, the song can blow up, and 90% of the time, the producer gets fucked because they don't have their business straight. Meanwhile, the artist is performing and all of that, and they possibly get signed. You may have the credit, but you're not getting what's important, the backing. So, homeboy business is one of the, you know, lessons I learned, believing in an artist's potential. Again, I spoke about the artists that put out a song or multiple albums and they don't focus on pushing, you know, they don't have a focus. They just releasing so many things, so much content.
Yeah, the quantity.
Burn themselves out, but it's no progression.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you think. However long you in this shit, at some point you gonna wanna see some progression. And a lot of times that's what lacks. You never really see progression. So homeboy business and lack of progression is probably like the hardest things I've had to experience since I've been doing this.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to go back a little bit to, again, like, you got the workspace and you, again, producer, DJ, podcaster. Have you ever had like the most, I guess, like, say, like, you in the back, like, practicing your DJ stuff, you ever get inspired like in the moment from a song you like, you know, trying to cut and learn how to, and you just like, oh, hold on, I just got an idea to for a beat, and you just like, hey, like, because of the space, you could just be like, oh, let me put a pause on this real quick, let me run over to the desk and just get this beat. You ever had like those moments?
Hell yeah. I mean, you know, with me practicing, you know, DJing and producing is literally brother and sister. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Knowing your timing, what song, you know, the only difference is
the BPMs, you know, and all that.
Yeah. And it ain't even really a difference, because either way it go, you got to read the room. When you working with an artist, you got to read, you know, their body language, how they feeling, know how they feeling, knowing what they want to, you know, record, and kind of like structuring that and guiding them to fulfill that feeling that they look for. But yeah. Hell yeah, all the time. Like, I was blending some 80s disco R&B records, and I'm like, holy shit.
That's my shit. Fuck that 80s disco, nigga. That shit. I
ran to the laptop. You know how niggas get their music now. They go on YouTube, rip that bitch off of YouTube. Yep. Loaded it in the FL and chopped up the sample. So hell yeah, all the time.
That's dope. All the time.
Speaking about, do you have like any favorites of in your catalog that you like? Yo, I just really love like a certain sample or a certain, or maybe even not even just like the sample, but like the finished product of what maybe an artist did to your song. Like, hey, I made this, but I didn't see the way this was gonna turn out. Like, what you did to it just turned out way better than what I thought.
Oh shit, there's so many. You said I can name a few, right?
Yeah,
go ahead.
All right, so T Villa featuring Sino and a guy named Brian Hamilton, Trey. I know y'all familiar with Tupac, California Love.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all remember the remix? You want me to play it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. I don't remember that. I'm like,
yes, sir.
All right, let me play it. But I'm about to fuck y'all up, okay?
Okay.
I'm about to fuck y'all up because I'm a play Tupac, then I'm gonna play the where they got it from, and then I'm gonna play the one that I did.
Okay, like, that's how it go. I used to sit up with my uncle. That. My uncle used to do that because I play him like newer music, and then like he'd be like, "Oh, that ain't nothing but the sample from this and that." And he pulled a record out.
Can y'all hear it? Oh, y'all ain't never heard it.
Shit, low key harder than the than the first one. Yeah, okay.
I'ma play the original. I'ma play the one that I did.
That one a little funkier than the original.
This is where they got it from.
Oh yeah, I've never heard that.
That shit hard.
Yeah, this the original. I'ma let the
deep ass bass.
Yeah, they from Oakland.
It's
84. It's 1984. See? So this is what I did. I mixed them both. Here we go.
Yeah, west to east, east to west. East to west. Hold it down for my city, nigga. Yeah. Yeah. Detroit, stand up. Team Villa in this. Be Ryan on the hook.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, that's sick. That's sick.
Same guy I was favor with.
Okay.
Yeah, that's him, Sino, and Brian Hamilton. But yeah, like, I merged both of them together and made that beat.
No, that's cold. Because like, who would think to do
original,
that?
Yeah. The remake and make a whole new joint. I like that.
Well, no, it's the chain of the record. If you were, like you said, the this is what we know it. This is where it was introduced to us at. Then you went back and found the original. Because one of the other ones, and I say this is probably the most sampled song in all of hip hop, but the Lisa Fisher, "How Can I Ease the Pain," but we done heard 3-6 do it on Late Night Tip. Vezo killed that shit on Money Phone. Like, it's a bunch of niggas that have, like, done that shit. But when you go back and listen to the original by itself, even towards the end, when she, like, hitting the notes and the little, like, the drums come in. Bro, like, niggas don't, like, and that's what I'm saying, Tizzy, like we talked about earlier. Niggas got to appreciate where this shit coming from so you can know, like, how to approach this motherfucker. Like, niggas just hop on the beat and go, like, nah, nigga, you heard how this sounded, where it came from, nigga. You got to bring that essence to it.
And I'm like, where the fuck? Because, you know, I know Dr. Dre at this point, he's the master flipper. He flipped my shit. So I'm like, where the fuck did they get that from? Because the bass line was so funky. Yeah, I'm like, it has to be a funk record. So I'm just reading the credits. And I looked at the names. I'm like, these are a lot of fucking names. So, you know, now technology is around. Google is around.
Yep.
Yep, type it in.
Whosampled.com. Like,
yeah.
Like, when I typed in the name, that group popped up. And that was the first song. When I hit it, I just heard it. The drum pattern at first, I said, oh, yeah, this is definitely where he got it from. And then the bass line kicked in. I said, oh, this motherfucker here.
But that's what attracted me to, like, work with artists and stuff is because even if I may not be talented to, like, make the music, I got an ear for the shit. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, I could find those melodies because, like you said, I love to sit in the studio and just smoke. And then just like, oh, I hear this, I hear that. And because my OG kind of trained my ear for that, I have a deeper appreciation for the music and shit. And honestly, to your point, digging in the crates is how we keep innovating and keep coming back with it. But it takes people like yourself to put it together in a timeless way, like so that it'll continue the lineage of the song. If we just throw that shit in and nobody knows what it is, and it turns to a trap record, it's chewed up and it's gone. Like you know what I'm saying? Essence ain't it doesn't carry on from there. Just my opinion, though.
Right.
Like music school. So let's talk a little bit about you got some songs that you sent in for us. One of them that we've been playing on the podcast since it dropped, State of Mind. Ant first sent it to me. I immediately heard that it was the Nas flip off the rip, but like it was way funkier than that shit. So when he sent it, I'm like, this is hard, bro. He was like, yeah, Tizzy did that shit. And I'm like, tell us how you put that together, cause nigga, goddamn.
Okay, he called me. It was early in the fucking morning. You know how Ant talk. He like, nigga, we should trap out State of Mind. I'm like, State of Mind or what? Nas, New York State of Mind. I'm like, fuck you. No, nigga, no.
Right.
Fucking Nas, man.
Well, no, it sounded like he came to the right guy, though, because, again, this is an unconventional last request. How do you trap out Nas?
Nigga, so
walk us through it.
No, off rip. Like, this DJ Premier Nas, you fucking nuts. No,
he said, I don't even want to touch that.
I believe we got off the phone, and then something just told me, like, man, fuck it, try it. So I called the nigga back. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do it. Just give me a couple days. Lo and behold, next day I woke up. Replayed all that shit. Sent it to him. He's like, nigga, that's it. Nigga, that's it. And from that point forward, it was just a smash. He snapped on that bitch.
He
snapped on a lot of people saying that's one of their favorite records from him.
Same. I believe I like that one. And then we used to play YBE a lot too with 100.
Me and Train made that beat.
Okay. That makes sense. Makes sense. So look, I've been a fan of your shit without even knowing. That's what's up. No, definitely both of those for sure. I was like, man, I need these in the rotation all here. Like it gave us a stronger catalog to like run with that way. But like, shit. pressure, nigga.
Yeah, that's dope. We talked about it before we press record, but yeah, also the other joint with your boy T Villa. Speak about the Bring a Friend joint with, you know, I will say legendary, you know, classic to the
legend,
you know, high school, college days, you know, Fabo on the joint. Speak about how that joint came about.
Smiles, kick your foot up.
Like I said, I didn't have no plans for it. I didn't have no plans on sending that beat to nobody. It was just something I wanted to try. It was sample different from what you normally would hear from me. So I put it out, like I said, on YouTube. I put it on Instagram as a reel. And he was the one that bit. He like, bro, this is a hit. I hear it. Well, all right. Like I said, he had a girl on it. That didn't work out. So, you know, he got a great relationship with Fabo. Fabo was like, you know, he like, I'm going to get Fabo on. I'm like, Fabo?
He was taking it back.
We know him for being, you know, an entertainer. We don't know what he's doing per se, right? You know, but when he sent me back the finished product, I'm like, damn, this nigga really snapped on me.
Barbara! Barbara!
We were joking. I know I was. I was joking. I'm like, Barbara! Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm joking and shit. And then he sent me that. I'm like, oh. Well, excuse me.
Right. My bad, sir. Apologize to that man.
He rapped on that bitch. Yeah. Like, he really did a thing on that bitch.
Yeah, he did.
They shooting a video on the 15th for this month.
Okay.
It's going crazy down south, for real. They've been, you know, Fabo booked every weekend. Mm-hmm. He stay booked. Like, he booked so much on a weekend that you could only shoot the video with him during the week.
Damn.
So, like, a Monday, though. Like, he booked during the weekdays, too. So, they shooting the video.
Oh, so he's for sure a legend, then. Because, again, when you got, like we said, you got timeless records, nigga, you can still get booked. You still get work. Nigga, like...
Especially when you still hot in your own city, because like I just went to Atlanta recently, and I was talking to someone, and I was like, "Yo, yeah, just in the day I've been here, I was like, all I hear is like Young Jock on the radio," and they're like, "Hey,
you still the man?" Man.
Not, they're like, "Yeah," they're like, "He may not have songs that y'all hear," they're like, "But every now and then he still dropped like a joint here and there." They're like, and "Plus, you know, him being on TV and everything helps, and he also got the gig on the radio." They're like, "Yeah, like."
That's
just
smart.
Certain artists in here that just, hey, yeah, y'all may not hear it outside. And I thought about it. It's the same thing since I've learned about moving here to Dallas. It's just artists that people don't hear outside of Dallas, but like I know in the city, like they just
they got motion though. And the thing is, even if we don't hear about them, they still getting booked. They still selling out shows. They still selling merch. They still, you know what I'm saying, got other shit going. They still eating comfortably. You know what I'm saying?
Fabo stay on the plane. He stay on the plane. Like, M&T. Matter of fact, he was in Ohio. 420.
No, see.
He was in Toledo, and the night before they was in Columbus.
Okay.
He a real one, man. He been taking and putting T Villa on every show.
That's dope. Yeah.
So they can perform the song. And
that's dope. That's love.
They've been throwing them a single party. Like, he had one a week after the song dropped at the Views in Atlanta. And then they got another one. What's today? Well, it was one yesterday.
Okay.
They had a performance yesterday where
Single de Mayo too, yeah.
A little scrappy. He performed with them at the Crunk reunion. It was like a Crunk reunion or something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've literally been taking him everywhere with him. Like,
that's dope.
That's dope. Yeah, that's love.
Because a lot of people ain't going to do that. They just like, all right, thanks for the song, man. I'll hit you up next time I come to the city. All right, peace.
Yeah, and they both live in Atlanta, so that makes it even better.
Mm-hmm.
So, both down there in Atlanta.
Trying to plot on my paper, why bother? Try to hit a lick on your man, you get snide. scramble. It's kinda crazy how they think they slick. Niggas acting straight, bitch, nah, stay with a stick. Got you haters in my way, yeah, that's a quick fix. One phone call will get you busted, niggas out the mix. Yeah, we don't play no games over here. We on point, man, my heart pumps, no fear. Try to lock a nigga down, man, you bitches crazy. Caught a sneak diss and shit, you niggas can't fade. My state of mind steady on that paper. Trying to stack my money high like my rich ass neighbors. Trying to stay sucker free, it's a full time caper. Understand this, my dog, I got no favors, yeah. My state of mind steady on that paper. Trying to stack my money high like my rich ass neighbors. Trying to stay sucker free, it's a full time caper. Understand this, my dog.
What up, dog? Motizzy, you a fool for this one. Baby, what up, though? You feel me? Yeah. Baby, if you come and be a 100, you can win. Yeah, yeah. It's a real nigga party over here, so bring a friend. Baby, if you come and be a 100, you can win.
You know that.
Yeah. It's a real bitch party over here, so bring a friend. Wanna finesse me out of tip, huh? You talking like I don't know that you lying through your lips, huh? You keep on saying you the shit, huh? How you getting money? How the fuck you don't got money for your rent, huh? I know the game like I made it, played it. I picked up where I left off, saved it. Work good and the numbers right cause I waited. My 2 feet all up in the game, but I ain't playing. I'm saying we can keep it real, no pretend. It's a real nigga party over here, bring a friend. If you say you fought them bad ones out, bring them in. This TV in this bitch with new blue Benjamins. Yeah. The spin again.
Ching, ching.
I made a flip, but I could have bought a Benz. You let me fuck and you ain't let them stick it in.
Okay.
Just cause I bust don't mean I owe you dividends. Girl, let me say this shit again. Like,
baby, if you come and be a 100, you can win. Yeah. It's a real nigga party over here, so bring a friend.
So in the morning, you said pull up and I slide through. You acting like a college girl, that pussy like a drive-thru. You looking for a trick, want a rich nigga to hide you. Looking real thick, BBL, yeah, we outside too. Pro, I know you a pro. That money go up in the air and it fall on the floor. You a hoe and I know you a...
So yeah.
Look like you need to make your way down there too, nigga. All right.
I'm
going to
make my way down there for sure, for sure, for sure.
Yeah. I'm waiting on niggas from the city to try to make their way here, but like really come down here to work. Like it's a lot of niggas that I fuck with, but they ain't trying to like, or they still, they, cause Smiles is in Dallas and I'm in Houston. They still think that Texas is just Dallas, or like they don't realize like how far everything is and the difference between Houston and Dallas. They just think everybody got cowboy hats and bang screw.
Yeah, I get that all the time. How far is Dallas from Houston? Like, I'll get people that go to Houston to visit. They're like, "Oh yeah, I'm here in Texas. I'm in Houston. How far are you?" I'm like,
"That's 5 hours."
I'm about 4 or 5 hours away. Oh damn, I didn't know it was like that. Yeah,
because we would honestly do more in person if I didn't have a baby and have to zip and drive like 5 hours, my nigga. But like, it's not as close as you think it is.
Texas is big as fuck. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I bring it up because kind of like how you said, when you build your own ecosystem to function in, that's all you need, and you just keep feeding, you know what I'm saying, that core audience and that core fan base over and over again, and you'll be straight. Like everybody, I think when they get into your line of work, Tizzy, our line of work, just whatever you do, they just want mass appeal right away. And it's like, nah, bro, you gotta like grind and work your area, you know what I'm saying, kind of build your buzz where you at, and then let that grow.
Nah, for real.
Mm-hmm. What was the other? No, it was another song. I gotta talk about this song, Cypher. Cause yeah. And it's funny because you just talked about like when you told us with the Tupac joints, how you kind of like blended both versions. When I hear your beats, bro, the instrumentation, like it's the layers to it. Like Smiles asked earlier, the difference between a producer and a beat maker. It don't sound like you just pushing buttons on this shit, bro. Like you're orchestrating a fucking symphony on wax. It's what it sounds like. So talk to us how like about the Cypher record, and then like how like that came about too. Cause like, and them niggas was spazzing on that shit.
Let's go fuck y'all up. Y'all literally about to cry, like laugh. It's not funny. It's just like, nigga, you really did that. All right, so y'all familiar with Funk Flex. He had a segment called 5 Minutes of Funk where he would let DJs come up and rock. So Just Blaze had one. I literally chopped up a lot of the sound, a lot of the some of his cuts. I chopped up some of the things that he used to make that beat. I had that break beat already.
Okay.
I had that just sitting there. And I just chopped up his mix show and used elements from his mix show like that.
That's
scratch you hear. That's his scratch. Okay. I had
to, that is fire to use like a I didn't even think about that.
I literally had to time stretch all that shit. Anybody that produces, when they hear time stretching, making sure all those times match, like you got, it's all different times. And I had to make it make sense on the time, on the BPM that I had.
Damn.
I had to adjust all of that shit to make that beat. So, yeah. And again, Hall of Fame Jai is the first one you hear that come on.
Jordan.
And then you got Eastside Yak, and you got my big bro Russell Conway.
Okay.
And you got the young guy, Bo, the last guy.
Okay. Last he ate. He definitely got on.
Yeah, he was like,
now I'm excited to go back and re-listen to it. Like just the knowing the backstory of it.
I'ma call it the 2020 boys.
Okay. And
anybody, you know, is familiar, you know, that's when Butch Jones went and migrated to the East Side and got with and put an East Side crew together. And because Russell Conway is the only West Side guy on it.
Okay.
Outside of me being a producer, he the only West Side guy, and he's the oldest. So everybody else is from the East Side.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to call it the 2020 boys. Cypher.
No, I like that. I like that. That shit was better than the, some of the shit you seen on the BG Cypher and shit. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I got another one that I did with all Pontiac rappers.
Okay.
Bro Spit, Michigan, Binks Vader, Ben Poe, and his Rockabilly Nut, Pauls, from they all from Pontiac. I did it with my homeboy. DJ Nuff said, shout out to him and the music.
Am I sensing a series coming? Like, niggas, shit, you might as well head up to Flint, Grand Rapids, Lansing, niggas, Dirty Club it up, nigga. Like, let's go.
I'm gonna work on all of that. It's all gonna come
together. My bad. I ain't trying to give too much information, but shit, if it's working, shit, keep it going.
Yep, get all the areas to get to do a cypher. It's like, hey, which one is the better one? You know?
Hell yeah.
I'm going to try to take this everywhere. I'm going to.
Yeah, we got to be definitive. So, Tizzy, tell us a little bit about, like, what's next. Like in the next, let's just say, like, 2 years or so. Like, because we want to be, like practical about this. Like next 2 years or so, where do you see yourself? What are you working on? What are some areas you're trying to grow in?
I want to work more on movie scores.
Okay.
I want to get into that. And I plan on being further into my career, everything that I'm doing. I plan on being, and I will be further in everything that I'm doing. So, yeah, pretty much cemented in the game.
I know even like you said with the movie scores, sequencing and licensing, that's where it is now. Like I know a couple artists just from here from Dallas is like, yo, I get a nice check off of my song being like this commercial or this TV show.
So Tizzy, I was gonna ask, Detroit is going through, I won't say a renaissance, but like the film scene in Detroit is bubbling right now. Like that shit is popping. And yeah, because everybody all day on Tubi, so what? Art is being made and it's being consumed. So I feel like, if anything, for somebody who's trying to do scores, as long as movies keep coming out, it's always going to be an opportunity, you know what I'm saying, for you to, like, master that lane. So I think that that's dope, you know?
My brother is one of the directors for Moonlight Films, Thomas Harris.
Oh, shit. Okay.
He's not blood brother. My older brother, that's his brother.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you know, pretty much, nigga, we all brothers.
Right.
Yeah.
Y'all family.
I got the same thing. I was like, you know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's like my sister's sister, but, you know, it's my sister.
And we've been in talks. Okay. We go together eventually. put together some shit for sure.
Oh, that's dope. And I say that because, like we talked about before, I left home just because I felt like I needed, like, bigger opportunities. Not to say that I wouldn't get those same opportunities had I stayed in Detroit, but like I wanted to like grow and kind of like push myself. Smiles, yeah. I think like same way like with you leaving your home. But I think like because the now 10 years later, those opportunities are there now in the city for somebody like as talented as yourself. Before it wasn't. You had to go to Atlanta, go to Miami, go to LA to try to at least get more. Like, you could do the work, but it's going to be the same five niggas asking for beats. But now I feel like it's a little bit more open there from an art standpoint to where you ain't got to leave if you don't want to.
Facts. Okay. And the key to it is not getting caught up. A lot of people, you know, they get comfortable being famous here. They're used to selling. They don't try to surpass the selling. They just be good. They like, okay, I made it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the key. It's to not become complacent.
Yeah.
You know, don't get so hyped up by being popular in your own backyard. That was just step one. Now you gotta appeal to the world.
Yep.
And that's just my ideology. Like, I prefer, it's cool to make it in my backyard, but I already had the support from my village, you know, from my hood. It started at home first, most important. You know, it started with my mom and my brother, you know. So that's cool. I already got that out the way. Yep. You know. Like I said, now I'm just trying to captivate the world with my son.
Yeah. Cause it's the hip hop. It's the hip hop effect, man. You conquer your block first. Then you conquer your neighborhood. Then you conquer your side of town. Then you conquer your city. You know what I'm saying? Then you get your region. And then, you know what I'm saying, you go out and take over the world. A lot of people just want to go out and take over the world. Nigga, the niggas down the street don't even know you. Nigga, what you doing? What you doing?
I forgot, you know. You get there when you get there, you know. Ain't nothing wrong with taking the stairs. As long as you're some of the best advice I've ever got.
That's real.
Yeah, that's dope. I did want to ask you like a couple of just fun hip hop questions, which I actually just thought about one of them as we were talking about doing the ciphers and stuff. If you could put a cipher together, let's say four artists, dead or alive, who would those four artists be?
Royce. Do they gotta be mainstream?
Whatever four artists you want to be like, hey, I know these four artists together just on my production gonna kill it. So we got Royce.
I ain't gonna be biased. I can't name because I know that wouldn't be fair. So I'm gonna go with Royce. Five, right?
Yeah. You do four or five, yeah.
Okay, Royce, Lupe, Elzai.
Okay.
Shit. I got two more. I'm going to take y'all back. Razzcast.
Oh, okay. Shit. Okay. Okay. That's some real hip hop right there.
Right. Somebody fuck with the West Coast heavy.
Yeah.
Who was the last one?
Eminem.
Oh.
I don't know. You sure you want to do that? Nigga, you gotta leave an extra like space at the end for him to rap.
If it wasn't him, I would say Red.
Okay.
We can put both of them on there. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, the reason I say that is because Eminem and Red Man, early Eminem is Red.
Man. Yeah, because yeah, because I know he always say that Redman is his favorite artist.
Yep.
You can hear it. You can hear it. That's what's crazy. You really can hear the influence. So I'd switch Redman and Eminem out. And I know they'd go crazy.
Because Redman still got it.
Yeah. I remember when we used to do the stuff in college for like the labels and stuff. The first artist that Def Jam sent was Redman. it was like the Red album or whatever, the cartoon cover and all that.
So Tizzy, when we was in school, they would our job was, well, I made Smiles do it, but like you had to call the labels or whatever, and they send you whatever they had, like for the quarter or whatever. Now, when we got to Redman, we was excited because it's Redman. Any other time, they wasn't sending us like top levels, like they wasn't there yet. So who was the man's, was it Clyde Carson or some nigga that they sent us? And he was literally the biggest nigga that they had sent us. Everybody else was like some BC side niggas. But we was playing it. And then what we do is, even if they wouldn't give us the radio edit, we had a production studio. We sit in there and we go in there and like edit like the cuss words and everything. And then my boy had the box stand account. So we would get like, get this song. And he get the songs. And then like we go in there and flip those. And that's how we built the radio station's like music database up. Cause we was just gathering music like from everywhere, nigga. But
that shit was fun.
yeah. We still doing it. Like what? 2 years later. Shit.
Okay. The other little fun question I was gonna ask, more producer wise, was if you could collab on a track with one or two producers, who would they be? I didn't know if you was gonna say Swiss Beats or if it'd be someone else, but like if you could just be like, hey, like let's get in the studio, let's make. Like, take what I'm good at and add a little bit of your flavor into it and make a track. What other producer would you want to work with?
Shit. Quick.
Okay, DJ Quick. Oh, yeah. You definitely got that West Coast influence.
Fucks with Quick.
Yeah.
Bait, the Humble Monster.
I never heard of him.
Yeah, I never heard of him.
Bait.
Bink.
Bink Dog. The nigga that made Mr. Cheeks, Lights, Camera, Action.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Last Game. That was my joint back in the day.
Gotcha.
You, him, her. You, me, him, her. From off of the Dynasty.
Shit.
Oh, what?
900 Hustler.
Okay.
Okay, Bink. Because I know Joe always said he bigs up Bink for working with him.
Okay, yeah. No, I heard it, though. I'm a man.
Like, I'm trying. Don't leave about that. Black Street.
I got some heat.
You think you are John Legend, Rick Ross?
Mm-hmm.
He did a lot on Rick Ross, rather you than me. The Santorini Grease.
I fucked with that. Did.
Yeah.
Shit, the first song off the Blueprint is Bink.
Yep, it was like, I know he did a lot with Jay-Z. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do remember Bink now.
I gotta go back to the Dynasty now. Shit.
Yeah. Him and, And DJ Quick. If I couldn't get Quick, I would go to Battle Cat.
Okay. Yeah. Battle Cat, yes, for sure.
Yep. Them like I got a line of top 5 producers. Like, Quick and Battle Cat too.
I was gonna say like even going from Quick to Bink though, like but again, from what we've learned on this episode, it makes sense. Like I'm sure you could blend it. Cause I'm like, how the hell we go West Coast, but then you got the kind of like the East Coast sound, I guess. Man. But like, I'm sure you'll figure out a way to make that shit sound amazing though. Cause
right.
So we've learned.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah, that's fire. Anything else you wanted to ask, Lo?
Oh no, I got all my main ones out. I will say this because I'm having so much fun with this. This is definitely the first of like many more like guest spots. Cause Tizzy, you've been a cool ass guest, nigga. Like some niggas, we'd be like, we probably ain't gonna have this nigga
back. Yeah, this is dope. Just learning. Again, I love just learning just different stuff, especially real like fellow hip hop heads that like, again. I'm reading the credits.
If it's one thing for sure, it's like, no, nigga, like you have a deep appreciation and a knowledge for this shit, bro. And I appreciate like one learning from you, but then now I'm gonna be watching even harder now. Watching you work.
I'm like, damn, I'm ready to go back to listen to that Cypher track and just to really like.
Cause I told you, I didn't realize I was already a fan, but like I'm locked in now. Like I'm about to pay even more attention because I like all the shit that you've made so far that I didn't know was you. I'm like, okay, like it makes sense then. So I'm a fan of your work going forward. Believe that.
For having me, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, anytime. But if you want to just go ahead and give like your social medias and everything, and let folks know where they can find you, where they can go and like buy some beat packs and all that.
All right. I'm Mo Tizzy 2_ on Instagram, and I'm What Up Mo, just Mo MO_ on Twitter. And just type in Mo Tizzy on Facebook and I'll pop up.
Yeah.
And, you pretty much can message me use my email, whatever. However you get in touch with me, get in touch with you. But that's how you can find me for sure.
Come on, no haggling shit. Don't be doing that haggling.
I get blocked, nigga. Yeah.
Don't want a $150 beat pack. Tell me, I got you on $15. Come on, man. All I got is $15. No, shit. Sorry, bro.
Beat is crazy.
Well, look, you can get you two pencils and a table to bang on for $15. Grinding.
Oh no, that's what I was thinking. Like the clips grinding.
Here you go, nigga.
Oh man. But yeah, we appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk with us, bro. It's been a great episode. It's your boy Smiles. I'm here with my guy Big Papa Skeeter.
Yeah.
And this has been another episode of the Music Impulse, and we out.
Peace.
All right, peace, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Man, appreciate you, bro.
For sure, for sure.